Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about love that one.
Hey, this is John Gruden.
We went ahead and made a commitment to the Bears and ponied up and got the suite. It's been a big disappointment.
Well, you're a hard guy to please. Don't forget that. You're a hard guy to please.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, and
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah, I know.
High atop Chicago, 720 WGN. It is the Jim Bob Show game day edition heard here and on great stations all around the country. And Jim Bob excited to have on the line a 9-time All-Star, 3-time AL saves leader, World Series champion, and a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Let me tell you, sporting news, fireman reliever of the year, too. Don't forget that one. And the fact that he's also, I mean, he's in so many Hall of Fames, I can't even mention him. Here we got Goose Gossage on the line with us, everybody. Welcome, Goose.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, buddy.
Great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I tell you what, is that I was telling a bunch of my friends that we were going to have you on. And so one of the very first questions that my buddy, who's a huge fan of you, and he goes, would you do me a favor? He goes, would you ask him in the era that he played in who his favorite player was, you know, whether he was associated with, played with, or whatever, because, you know, he was a huge Mickey Mantle fan, and he's a huge Goose Gossage fan, and he goes, would you start off the show with that? So, Butch, this is out for you, buddy. I did ask the question. Goose, could you tell us who was your all-time favorite that you either admired or you played against that you had a lot of admiration for?
Well, certainly when I was growing up out here in Colorado, I live in Colorado Springs, and you know, was born and raised here and went back to my family goes back here to the late 1800s. And my mom and dad, there was 17 years difference between me and my oldest sibling, my brother, and then 16, 15, and 14 between my three older sisters than me. And then I was a mistake, you guys. So I came along, and then I have a younger sister that my mom said, well, he can't be back here all by himself. So I have a younger sister. We grew up big Yankee fans out here in Colorado. Not that much exposure. We didn't have the Rockies, of course. We had some baseball's been very popular here in the, you know, front range of the Rockies, Denver, Colorado Springs. There's been a great history here, but my mom and dad were huge Yankee fans. I grew up a Yankee fan, and playing for both Chicago teams, oh my God. You know, the greatest player that I ever looked up to when I was a kid was the Yankees, all those great Yankees, but Mickey Mantle was my favorite player in the world, and then getting to play the 6 years there and getting to know all of those guys with the Yankees, all of the greats, it was one of the great thrills of my career.
Oh, man, he's going to love that answer because, I mean, him and I were both talking about it. Every time I go back to Oklahoma City, I would stop in Mickey's place and I would get Mickey Mantle and I'd go to the steakhouse, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, think about it, Goose. You know, he got hurt, you know, in the first season of his career, and he was still forever the fastest guy to first base. Think about what would have happened if he hadn't got injured and been on a bum leg, just how great a career he could have really had, because he played most of his career injured.
Well, and that's exactly right. What could he have been had he not been injured? But all of those Yankee greats and all the greats that I played with, the greatest player that I ever played with and ever, he took me under his wing when I was a member of the Chicago White Sox my rookie year, 72. Richie Allen took me under his wing, and it was one of the greatest thrills of my life, of my career. The greatest player I ever saw play was Dick Allen. And he put us on his back in 1972, and we chased those great Oakland teams that won 3 world championships. And I'm telling you, I'd stack those teams up against anybody in the history of the game. were those early Oakland A's teams, and we chased them right down to the wire, and it was because of Dick Allen that took us under his wing, and he taught me how to pitch from the greatest player that I would ever see play and the greatest hitter that I would ever see in my career. So what he meant to me is just beyond all the money in the world couldn't have paid for that experience, you guys.
We got a text coming in from Little Big Tony out in Naperville, and he was wondering, you know, obviously identified so much with the Yankees because of all that success in the World Series, but you did play in Chicago on both of those teams. Talk a little bit about that, because I got to tell you, as Jim Bob mentioned, is we were telling people we were going to have you on. Chicago claims you as their own, too.
Yeah, and what's the difference between playing for that White Sox uniform and the Cubs uniform? That was Little Big Tony's big question. So I think it's a great question. Your thoughts?
Well, I really can't tell you what it's meant to me to be a part of Chicago. What a great city. I did all my first, you guys, in Chicago, good and bad. So, you know, when I broke in with the Chicago White Sox, I said the stars were aligned. I had the coaching that I got was unbelievable. I could throw a ball through a car wash without getting wet, but I had no idea what an off-speed pitch was. And I ran into a guy, Johnny Sane, and I said the stars were aligned. Dick Allen, as I mentioned before, and then Chuck Tanner, my manager. I always said that the stars were aligned when I got to the big leagues. And Johnny Saint took me under his wing and taught me the art of the off-speed pitch. And it was a process, you guys. It didn't just happen overnight. It took me 2 or 3, 4 years to really get that experience under my belt to really start seeing where my career might go. And with the confidence and the coaching that I got and all the great players, and geez, you guys, I said even the home runs that I gave up were great, and I gave up my share of them, you guys, but I said the stars were aligned, and it was a fabulous 22 years. All I wanted to do when I started out with the Sox in that grand old ballpark, Comiskey Park, when I walked in there, it was like an out-of-body experience. It was so huge and so grand, and my first year in the big leagues. And as I said, all those guys, the stars were aligned, and then all the great players that I got to, 9 different teams. All I wanted to do was put a big league uniform on one time when I signed out of high school in Colorado here, and it turned into 22 years, an election to the Hall of Fame, and all the great things that have happened to me, and all the great fans. My God, I still get tremendous fan mail. You know, that going into the HOF has a way of putting you in a different category, you guys. Oh, my God. It's kind of out of body experience.
What was it like, Goose, when you came right out of high school? You got drafted right out of high school, and so you're transitioning from Colorado Springs, from Wasson High School, coming into the bigs, and you're so young. I mean, but you know, you had that power, you had that powerful fastball. But, and you talked a little bit about, you know, that transitioning. I mean, how hard was that back then? I can't even imagine it.
Well, one thing that I found out throughout my whole career was confidence, and the amount of confidence, and it was fragile as the day it was the first time you gain confidence, but still that confidence is the most fragile thing. You see it in Judge now, you know, struggling and that constant struggle of keeping that confidence and keeping good thoughts in your mind. Wow. You know, it was a process. You know, the 5 years that I spent with the Chicago White Sox and all the things that I learned, and then going to Pittsburgh, Tanner went to Pittsburgh, they traded for me, I went to Pittsburgh, became a free agent, signed with the Yankees, and, you know, as I said, all I wanted to do was put a big league uniform on one time, and it turns into 22 damn years, and just the coaching that I got, and meeting players. You know what's missing in the game today, guys, is I say that torch has stopped being passed. Mm-hmm. That was so instrumental in my development as a player. Through all the guys, the veterans, I was the only rookie in the 72 team, and oh my God, what an education that was. You didn't say crap if you had a mouthful, you know. And, you know, just, you know, learn. Mm-hmm. Dick Allen taught me how to watch the game and learn from just watching the game. I learned so much from him, Tanner and Johnny Sane. My God, it was such a tremendous education. And like I said, that confidence thing was the most fragile part of my whole career. I struggled with mightily when I went to the Yankees, and it was, the game brought me to my knees, and I had put so much pressure on myself growing up a Yankee fan and then getting to play for them, and they are world champions, and Sparky Lyle had won the Cy Young Award, and I go over to New York, and I'm wondering, what in the hell am I doing here? These guys are world champions. Sparky Lyle, I came over, they gave me Sparky's job on a silver platter. How do you take a guy's job that had just won the Cy Young Award as a relief pitcher? My God, so much pressure was heaped on myself. I helped heap that pressure on myself because of putting on those pinstripes. Just kind of blew my mind. I loved every team that I played for, starting out with the Chicago White Sox in 72, finishing up with Seattle, nine different teams in 94 when we didn't have the World Series. And my career spanned all eight work stoppages from 1972 to 1994. There were eight work stoppages, whether it be a lockout by the owners or a strike by us, the players' union. And so it was a career spanned. I don't know that anybody else can say that their career spanned all eight work stoppages from 72 to 94. These guys don't even know how they're making the money.
Yeah.
And that torch that I was saying stopped being passed for 100 years. I should be teaching these kids how to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching in the big leagues today is the worst I've ever seen. These kids are not developed. They don't leave the minor leagues. They leave the minor leagues. They don't have a clue about pitching. And now it's run by a bunch of nerds that have no clue about even how to put on a jock. So the game, the game is totally upside down, in my opinion. You see terrible fundamentals in the game, one after one. These are the best teams in the big leagues today, and you see fundamentals. 101 stuff that you wouldn't do. It's ridiculous.
Say, so for the fans out there, you're getting an idea of the fiery Goose Gossage right there, and I love it. Hey, I want to step back for a second, though, and go back to 1977.
Sure.
When you pitched for Pittsburgh. I mean, you talk about,
sure,
the pressure. I mean, you pitched for them for that 1 year. You got an ERA, I think the lowest in the league at 1.62 on your ERA. You played in, you know, 70-some games and everything, and this is kind of when free agency is just kind of popping. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, did they take a mighty run at you? But I'm assuming the Yankees just said, hey, this is how it's going to be. You're coming here. How'd that go about?
No, it was really a disappointment. I would have loved to stay with the Pirates. That was a great team. When I packed up my locker and I knew I wasn't coming back, you know, they offered like 130, 150, and 160, I think, for 3 years. And, you know, I was going to be a free agent, so why not test the market? It was a no-brainer. They weren't even in the ballpark. And then after I became a free agent, I ended up signing with the Yankees in and at the time was the largest contract ever signed in 78. So, you know, my 6 years with the Yankees were fabulous. You know, we went and ended up winning a world championship that year that I went over there, but it was a season of from being on the lowest when the game brought me to my knees to winning a world championship and hanging out in the Dodger clubhouse with the Yankees, and we're world champions. And it was the most lackluster celebration that you would ever see, because we had come through so much from being 14 games out in 78. That was catching the Red Sox and forcing that one game playoff, and then going on to play in Kansas City in the playoffs and then the Dodgers in the World Series. Oh, my God. You couldn't have written a better script. But by the end of that season, we were exhausted. Here we are, world champions, and there's no very little celebration. We were dumping champagne on each other's heads, but there was no really jumping up and down because we were exhausted.
I wanted to know about that 78 season because it was a season, you know, you guys were known for your talent and the fiery personalities on that 78 squad. What was that clubhouse dynamic like that year? And you know, you talk about the pressure of being a closer there for such a storied franchise. And you had a great year, obviously. You had a great year. But talk about those fiery personalities and the clubhouse dynamic at 78.
Well, I mean, it was a season of, you know, Greg Nettles and Reggie Jackson, and there was never a dull moment. And our owner, Billy Martin, got fired, and that's when we really started, you know, playing lights out was when Billy got fired. That's when we started our run. And that was in early July, I believe, when Billy got fired. And Bob Lemon came in and took over, and we just started to really, really play great baseball. I had dug us that deep hole. I pitched so badly and so poorly, and we really weren't hitting on but all of four cylinders on an eight cylinder. So that's about how we were playing up till that point when Billy got fired and Lemon took over, and then we proceeded to catch the Red Sox. That 14 games we were out in July, ended up playing the Red Sox in a one-game playoff, and then, you know, it seemed like the rest of it was like a spring training game. Even the World Series after that playoff game with Boston, you couldn't have written a better script. Two of the greatest teams and in the same division, and we come down tied and force a one-game playoff in Fenway, which there's no ballpark you want to play a one-game playoff in. Is Fenway Park. No lead in that ballpark is a safe lead. So, you know, the World Series was kind of like a cakewalk, it seemed like, compared to that playoff game.
You know, when Lemon comes in, Steinbrenner makes the move. It makes it, and you guys have that incredible run. I mean, it's really one of baseball's greater runs. You guys come back and go to the World Series. It made Steinbrenner look like a genius. And I know both, you know, I mean, we both kind of hate that thought process, but, you know, hey, talking about that, and I don't want to bring up the bad stuff, but I do need to talk about, you know, you played with Thurman and he was your catcher for 1 year, and then he passed away in 79. Tell us about the horrible dynamics of that situation.
Oh, yeah. Thurman Munson. Oh, my God. I tell people this guy should be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he could have played a couple more years before he got killed. That kind of happened to Kirby Puckett with the Minnesota Twins. He may have used a couple more years. I don't know. But Thurman Munson doesn't have to take a back seat to bench or anybody else or Carlton Fisk, the guys that I played against firsthand. This was the greatest catcher that I ever played. We lost him in a plane crash in 79, my second year. In July or August, I believe, we lost him in a plane crash. And he was flying his own plane, and it was just the most tragic thing that's ever happened to me in my career. And there's hardly a day goes by, you guys, that I don't think about this guy. That's the kind of impact that he had with us. And on that 78-79 team, you know, he was such an integral part of that team. What a clutch hitter. We were full of guys. That was the greatest team that I ever played on, you guys, was the 78 World Championship team. I watched those guys, Nettles at third base, Bucky Dent at short, you know, Reggie Jackson, of course, but Thurman Munson was our captain, and he propelled us, and he led us, and Catfish Hunter, a great pitching, Ron Guidry in 78 was the greatest season I ever saw a pitcher have, and led by a crazy man, George Steinbrenner. You know, I say this about that man, you hated to see him coming because you knew the crap was going to hit the fan. And he was, I always said, if you weren't as demanding of yourself as he was going to be, it wasn't going to work out in New York for you. Because that guy, nobody wanted to win more than Mr. Steinbrenner. And, you know, I said this about 4 or 5 years after he passed. I said, you hated to see that man coming, but now you miss seeing him coming.
The legendary Goose Gossage here on the Jim Bob Show Game Day Edition. Stay tuned to future episodes as we continue our conversation with Goose. It's a quick break right now here on the Jim Bob Show Game Day Edition.